Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 13th Perek, Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Yeshayahu. It is interesting that this next section of Prakim is actually not part of Yeshayahu's historical narrative, but actually part of his international narrative. So meaning to say, up till now we've been able to plot more or less clearly on a timeline when Yeshayahu was speaking and to whom he was speaking and how that worked in terms of Uzziah's rule, Yotam's rule, and Ahaz's rule, following with the Assyrian aspect and a hint towards Chizkiyahu. That's what we've seen up till now, and the expectations of Mashiach and the hope for Mashiach, which have followed into Perek Yud Aleph, Yud Beis. However, in this Perek now, and for the next 11 Prakim, from Yud Gimel to Chaf Gimel, for those next 11 Prakim, Yeshayahu is now turning outwards towards the nations of the world. He's no longer serving as a prophet simply for Israel. He's turning to all the rest of the world around him and offering them prophecy. So this particular perek, and then the one that follows it for the next two, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, are going to be focusing on very specifically Masa Bavel. This is the prophecy or the parable to Babylon, which Yeshayahu is presenting. So that's just a quick summary of the perek and then one or two points to ponder. First, Hashem turns to Babel and tells them that there's going to come a time when they are going to turn to the mountains of Media and Persia and call out to them because they will be conquered by the Persians and the Medians. In fact, Hashem describes taking direct credit for the oncoming onslaught from Persia, meaning Babel, you are going to see a day in which the Persians and Medians are going to destroy you, and I am the one facilitating that. There will be, and there's beautiful poetic descriptions, as Yeshayahu does, of the descriptions of the great cry coming from the mountains and the armies coming from the ends of the earth to destroy the lands of Babylon. When thinking about waving towards the hills, just stopping here for just a quick brief moment, the Malbim does point out that historically speaking, this is kind of what happened, in the sense that the last king of Babylon of note and of power was a person by the name of Belshazzar or Belshazzar. And we know that he has a vision in which there's a writing on the wall, miraculous writing appears on the wall, and Daniel, the prophet, tells him that this is a prophecy of doom. What happens after that is that his servants rebel against him, and his servants, knowing that the prophecy is ill-fated for Belshazzar, the call to the Medians, who are a cruel nation from the outside, who come to overthrow the Babylonians. So it's the internal Babylonian servants are calling to the Medians from the out. This is kind of symbolized in this motion that Hashem says, waving a nace, a banner to the nation on the mountains. It's sort of that internal rebellion which will actually bring Babel down in the first place. The parak continues to describe how Babylonians, you will tremble and fear for the oncoming onslaught. That's how terrible it will be. Hashem will bring a cruel day that will be so bad for Babel that the starlight won't even give them any light anymore. The stars will not give them shining light. Hashem will repay Babel for their cruelty that they perpetrated against Israel. And he goes on to describe how their arrogance will be broken down. They'll be leaderless like sheep running without a shepherd in different directions. No one to take them in. There'll be rape. There'll be infanticide. We talk about the most destructive, terrible, terrible destruction which is going to be coming on and brought about by a nation called Media, which is a very cruel nation, Madai, as we call it in Hebrew. They will take no captives. They simply want to kill. Their currency is death. And the country which was once so splendid, which was Babylon, the hanging gardens of Babylon will be laid waste, and not even the passing Bedouin will want to stay there. That's how far it's going to go, right? And this is a very, very severe. Lo yahel shom aravi. Not even the passing Bedouin will want to stay in the ruins of Babylon. And if you think about it, in the collapse of the Fertile Crescent in certain ways, you know, that area in Iraq, that area in the desolate nature that area has been, is somewhat reflected in this particular prophecy. So this is the end of the parak. One or two just things to think about when he's describing this. And that is first of all, just a basic thing. Some of these events which are being described are supernatural. Are we to take those literally as supernatural? Or is there something more going on here? So this, again, it becomes a debate. We've seen many other different sides, but the Rambam Memorah Nevochim in the second section in chapter 29 tells us that, no, of course, when Hashem talks about the stars not giving light, we're not talking about a supernatural event. We're talking about such a devastating experience that it's talked about in hyperbole, in these exaggerated terms, to give us an inkling into just how terrible it will be to Babel. the question that the questions that really lie ahead of us is, why is Bavel being mentioned, Babylon? Because like, we've been going through the Sefer Yeshayahu. We know Yeshayahu's audience. We know the people, the enemies of Israel at the time. The enemies of Israel at this point in time were Aram, were Peleshes, were and the upcoming Ashur. We know about that. But Bavel is not really here now. Why is Bavel part of the rubric of the conversation of Yeshayahu in the first place? What's it got to do with him? So Ibn Ezra, in his introductory explanation to this perek, says, "Here's Kirma Poles Bavel, Acharei Mapoles Ashur, Ki Bavel Hishchis Ashur." What's going to happen is that Hashem has finished describing how Assyria is going to fall, and who is going to be the one who crushes Assyria is the rising empire of Bavel. So in order to make sure that nobody is in the misunderstanding that Bavel is the power that be in the world, Hashem says, "I'm going to crush Assyria with you, but just like Assyria was a tool in my hand, so too Bavel be a tool in my hand, and they will also be crushed." So the Ibn Ezra sees this as a historical continuation of his prophecy to Assyria, which was contemporary. However, it is interesting, Rabbi Bini Lau and Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun, in their book, Yeshayahu Kitziporim of Afot, say a very interesting thing. They quote from the Bible scholar Yecheskel Kaufman, who points out that it doesn't make sense that Yeshayahu will be talking to Babylon. Babylon at this point in time is a small nation state, which is excelling at this point in time in architecture and hanging gardens. That's what they're doing. They're not conquering anybody at the times of Yeshayahu. It's a century later they'll start becoming a force to be reckoned with. So it makes sense, he argues, that really what Yeshayahu is doing is he is using a terrifying name of a future enemy, but it's really actually couched in the terminology of the current enemy, which means to say, even though it says Bavel and it's describing Babylon, it's describing that general area, and the actual antagonist in this perek is in fact Assyria. We're going to see more proof of this as we move on to Perek Yud Dalet tomorrow, where we see that it sounds like some of the events that he's describing in the downfall of Babylon seem to be very much apropos Sargon, who is going to be the following king of Assyria, which means to say that in a certain sense, Yeshayahu is using Bavel as perhaps a future option, but really is referring to a contemporary experience which is happening. Nonetheless, this is once again an expression of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dealings are not simply with Israel, but on the international scale and the machinations of the international community. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.